Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About. I'm Keith.
And apparently I'm Keith, too. I don't know. On Sunday morning, I get to church, and I'm supposed to preach, and then everybody says, well, Keith Albright's preaching and bringing the lesson this morning. I get up there, and I say, well, I'm not Keith.
Yes, I had one person look over at me because they, I guess they noticed that I didn't have the microphone or anything, and I'm like, no, it's not me, and I'm pointing over to you.
Steve Trimble looks at me, and he goes, are you preaching this morning? I said, yeah. He said, oh, I forgot.
Yeah, well.
That's all right. I'm Zach, the co-host.
We'll forgive Steve. Hey, today, as this episode airs, the last Friday in March the 30th, 2018. Mm-hmm. Sunday is
Easter.
Well, yes, Sunday is a lot of things. It is Easter. It is also Sunday, the first day of the week.
Right.
You know, we come together and we worship every first day of the week. But it's also April the 1st.
It is April the 1st.
And, you know, when we talk about April the 1st, I can remember as a small child, you know, I mean, in my house, April Fool's Day, it wasn't a thing, you know, growing up.
Really?
You know, but when I got into school and, you know, start learning about April Fool's Day, and then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, this is a day when we can lie. It's okay to lie on this day. And, you know, obviously,
God gives us permission to lie on April Fool's Day.
Well, and yeah, you do a little research and you find out maybe that's not exactly accurate.
It's not true.
Yes. God is not giving us permission to lie on April Fool's Day. But, you know, I started doing a little research on the history of April Fool's Day. By the way, I'll just say this also. There have been some absolutely fabulous pranks pulled on April Fool's Day over the years. Some of the commercial interests in our world, you know, they've come out with fake news stories and this and that. And, you know, some of them are, you know, just downright hilarious.
Well, my grandfather, Tilson Collins' birthday is on April Fool's Day.
Oh, really?
Every single year. So we've had some good ones
I'm sure you have.
We've had some good ones. But anyway, continue with your story.
So anyway, doing a little research on April Fool's Day, couldn't really come to a consensus as to when it began or how it began. Some say that it goes back to the 1500s in France, and France actually adopted the calendar that we use today. Their new year used to begin around the 1st of April, and then they adopted the, what is it, the Gregorian calendar use?
Yeah.
And so there were evidently some people who didn't get the word.
Oh, and so that was like the first official April Fool's Day prank.
They, you know, they didn't get the word that, no, the first of the year is not on April 1st this year. And so they began calling those people actually fools because they had the wrong date. And, you know, it.
Right.
And I think from what I read about that in the 1500s, what, that 16th century, the French were just pretty cruel in how they treated one another, but...
Right, they were. I'm a history major.
So,
I've read about it.
You know, anyway, you fast forward here to 2018, and we may not know how April Fool's Day got started, but...
We just know it's a really fun day.
I don't get into it that much,
right.
But, you know... There are, well, okay.
My generation does.
It goes back to this. You're either doing it for fun or you're doing it to be cruel.
Right.
And sometimes that line gets so blurred that I just stay away from it.
Right.
You know, I'm not into the cruelty thing. Mm-hmm. So I like having fun.
Right.
But
New Year's Eve party with the elders.
I'm not into the cruelty thing. So anyway. Sunday, April 1st.
Also Easter.
Easter. The day that the world generally recognizes on the annual calendar that Jesus rose from the grave. But you know that somewhere on Sunday, somebody is going to turn the sermon into an April Fool's sermon.
You know they are.
And, you know, as we read the Bible, we know that God had a sense of humor.
He did.
The Bible isn't a joke book.
Right.
But, and there are instances there where we might find humor in something that God did not intend, and mm-hmm. maybe even vice versa.
Right.
Some things that God did intend for us to find yeah. humor in that we do not find the humor in. But you look at events such as, I think of when the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines, and they they take it into the house of their god Dagon, they get up the next morning and they find Dagon laying face down in right. front of the Ark, and then we read that and we realize that was God's way of showing his superiority to the Philistines, mm-hmm. but that's still kind of funny.
It is kind of funny.
And
it's got a little backdoor sense of humor to it.
It does. And, you know, and then his hands and feet being cut off, you know, eventually. And,
right.
You know, a little bit of humor. And then when the Philistines, of course, they were stricken with, as most agree from the translation isn't terribly clear, but most agree they were stricken with hemorrhoids while they had the while they had the ark in their possession. And yes, you look at that and you go, oh, that's kind of cruel.
don't
want any part of that.
Especially with their medicine, their modern day medicine. I don't know if they had anything to combat hemorrhoids.
I don't even want to think about what their treatment was for hemorroids at that point in time.
I don't
even
want to think about hemorrhoids in this
day. Since it happened to them and not to us, that's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny.
And then when they send the Ark of the Covenant back, they put it on a cart. Mm-hmm. Driven by cows that had just had their calves taken away. And what does God cause the cows to do? But to go away from their calves, to take the ark back. And they're lowing or mooing the entire way. They're causing a commotion everywhere that they go,
right.
As they are returning the ark to Israel.
You may not recognize this humor at, you know, the first read, but then you start thinking about it and you're like, that is kind of funny.
It is. You know, God definitely has a sense of humor. But as we read the Word of God, it goes back to what I said a moment ago. The Bible is not a joke book. And God did not see the Bible produced mm-hmm. in order to bring comic relief right. to us. As a matter of fact, when we open the Bible, we are seeing the most serious book that has ever been written.
Well, it's the inspired Word of God, and it's also a very, very... He's trying to get a very urgent message to us quickly.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And so with the concept or the idea of April Fool's Day being this Sunday, I want us to think about some things that God's not joking about. And if you have the opportunity to join us on Sunday, we're going to continue this thought, actually. The Sunday sermon's going to be an extension
right.
of this lesson, but we're going to, and I'm not trying to give my sermon away, my sermon, by the way, I'm preaching on Sunday, not trying to give my sermon away, but we're going to talk about God not joking about the resurrection of the dead, but we're not even going to touch that today in
right.
this podcast. We're going to talk about some other things. And since we've already been talking about the Word of God, let's just talk about that for just a moment. As we pick up the Bible, we have God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you believe in the Bible, if you have studied your Bible and you know the Bible, that statement may sound kind of ridiculous to you, that
right.
you know, why would we even think that God would be joking about this being his word? But there are so many in the world today. There are so many in the world of religion who do not take the Bible as God's word.
That is true, and there's a lot of people who stretch the truths of the Bible. There's a lot of people who loosen God's teachings and things of that sort. And if you think about it, it's almost as bad as, you know, looking to the Bible as not God's word, because you're taking away from it or you're adding to it.
Well, we've either got two choices, and you know, some people don't like it when you boil things down to this level of simplicity, but the Bible is either God's word or it's not God's word.
There is no in between.
There is no in between. Sadly, there are a lot of people in the world of religion today who are treating the Bible as being about God without treating it as if it is from God.
Right.
And there's a very big difference there, of course. You know,
that's a very good point. Very good point.
When we read the Bible, we are reading about God, but we're reading what God wants us to know about God. We are reading the actual Word of God. And we'll start in 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17. And this, of course, we could spend the entire time just on these two verses right here. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, let's stop and talk about that word inspiration for just a moment, because the word literally means God breathed.
Yeah, and that's what my version says, is all Scripture is breathed out by God.
Breathed out by God. And that's actually a very good translation, because, you know, well, of course, we know that, and yeah, I'm going all grammar nerd here, but we know that when we open up a dictionary, we're not seeing the definition of a word, we're seeing the usage of a word. And there are a lot of words in our language whose usage has changed over time. Inspiration is one of those words that can mean different things. Most of the time, as we use the word inspiration today, we're talking about the birth of an idea in our minds,
or the
beginning of a feeling or
within us that promotes us to do something
within us.
Yeah,
and you know, we might say, and of course this hasn't happened to me recently, but you know, I might say, well, I was inspired to exercise. You know, not been getting much of that.
You
got
to get
lately.
Inspired to go exercise. You got to get inspired to go run a little bit.
Well,
walk a little bit.
I shan't be running. I shan't be running. My knees are screaming in protest.
Keith, I got to start eating better. I got to start exercising a little bit too,
maybe,
man.
You need a little inspiration.
I'm gaining some weight. I don't know if that's a good thing. I mean, I used to be skinny as a rail, and those of you who have seen me very, very, I used to be very, very tall, slender, and skinny. I mean, that was my body type, but I'm getting out of that body type.
Okay, so also with inspiration, we see motivation.
Rambling.
That's fine, because it's going to fit in perfectly with what we're talking about.
All right,
about
there here. We go. You can draw points
out
of that.
The motivation must be there, along with the inspiration.
Uh-huh.
The inspiration might be the desire, but it's coupled with the motivation to accomplish it. And that of course would, you know, in this case, lead me to ask, what are you going to do about it?
And I plan on exercising. I plan on eating better, Keith.
Good for you. Good.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I had Mexican yesterday, and I didn't eat the tortilla chips. Wow.
Why didn't you eat the tortilla chips?
Because you said they're full of carbs.
Because I shamed you into not eating.
You did shame me. You body shamed me into not eating tortilla chips.
The tortilla chips. But don't get me wrong. I love tortilla chips.
Tortilla chips are good.
Yes. But since we're talking about food.
Okay. I can talk about food any day.
We're talking about the... let me throw this story out at you. Okay. Got some friends who... it's been several years ago now. I'm not even sure how long ago. But they hosted a foreign exchange student from Brazil. Sweet young girl.
Right.
Got to know her pretty well, you know, during the time that she was staying with the Lees. And anyway, she was a vegetarian. And I asked her one day, you know, why don't you eat meat?
Mm-hmm.
And her reply was, I don't like the texture.
Oh.
No, wait a minute. And I'm sitting there, and first of all, I'm thinking, okay, maybe something has gotten lost in the translation from English to Portuguese and back to English again.
She don't understand. And, she just don't understand what I'm saying.
But she went on, and she right. said, I don't like the way it feels in my mouth.
How could you not like
it? And that was the only thing that I had against her.
Right.
And
I held it against her.
And let me just say on that topic, I don't want to take away anyone's right to eat meat or not eat meat. That's not my place
for
to
all
do
of our
so.
Vegan
this
and
is not
vegetarian
a
listeners.
Matter of salvation, but just as much as it is your right to not eat meat, it is my right to hold that against you.
Yeah, it
so,
is.
You know,
or our right to eat as much meat as we possibly can.
That's right. But
in
but,
a small amount
anyway,
of time.
She told me that, and honestly, I couldn't comprehend what she was talking about because I'm like you. Meat? Yes, more. Give me more.
More meat.
You know, I want more.
Steak.
And I couldn't really grasp what she meant by that, even though, you know, she explained it to me very, very well until I ate something that qualified, you know, that fit that description.
So then you understood what
she
was saying.
Let me give you the full story. Avocado.
Hmm. Really?
Yes, avocado. I'd never eaten an avocado, and part of it was my wife, she would get avocado, she would make guacamole, and I would just look at it, and I'm like, that's the most disgusting thing I have ever seen in my life. I don't want any part of that.
Well, I've eaten some weird meats. I mean, you know, just various things that most people don't eat, but I'd have never experienced a problem with texture of meat, ever.
Well, so anyway, finally, after, I don't know how many years it had been, more than 20 years of being mm-hmm. married and seeing my wife make this guacamole from the avocados and eating avocados, I said, you know what, this is just silly. I know it doesn't look appealing to me, but I'm going to eat an avocado. And I tried one, and the texture of that avocado, I wanted no part of it. And I don't know if it was I had told myself I didn't like it for so long that when I actually tried it. I mean, there are other things that I have, you know,
never
put off trying. And then,
well, I've never tried an avocado now, but I'm not going to try one now that you're telling this story.
Well, that's up to you. Anyway, there's mm-hmm. a point to all of this.
It's not just endless rambling.
The texture. Some people... Now you gotta go with me on this illustration, okay? Some people don't like the texture of the Word of God.
Ooh, good point.
And you know, we read, for example, in 1 Peter 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word mm-hmm. that you may grow thereby. And some people, they try the Word of God. And they say, you know what? This is not for me. You know, I don't like the way this feels. I don't like what it is telling me. However, Jesus said that he had the words of life. And you know what? I firmly believe, I know that I can live and die without avocado.
Right.
You know, that's
not a problem.
Obvious. And whether or not you want to eat meat, really, that is up to you. Just as much up to you as it is up to me to hold that against you. I have a problem, a real problem, trusting people who won't eat meat. I don't know what it is, but, you know.
And there goes all of our vegan and vegetarian listeners.
But... Yeah, you know, it's like I said, you have that right.
Right.
I have the right to feel as I do. But when we're talking about the Word of God, we're not talking about meat or avocado or, you know, in tapioca pudding. I don't want any part of it. We're talking about the words of life. Mm-hmm. And Paul here writes, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we know the value of the Word of God from this verse. what we read here in 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Mm-hmm. It's profitable for doctrine. It tells us, I love this, here's your free sermon outline,
okay, Zach,
from this verse.
You know I love free sermon outlines.
Came from, I think Brother Garland Elkins is the first one that I heard this from.
Okay. But
profitable for doctrine. The Bible tells you what is right.
Mm-hmm.
Profitable for reproof. The Bible tells you when you're not right. Profitable for correction. The Bible tells you how to get right.
Right.
And instruction in righteousness. The Bible tells you how to stay right.
I like that. That is good.
Tells you what is right, when you're not right, how to get right, and how to stay right.
Definitely going to be doing a sermon over that.
Well,
that's good.
That's good stuff.
I'll just get it later.
You can get it later. Listen to it again. So I'm not going to preach the whole sermon for you.
I'll just skip this part of the listening and then I'll go on.
There you go. And if you are listening now and at a later date you hear Zach preach this sermon,
this is where it sparked my inspiration.
You can know where it came from. But verse 17, that.
Yeah, this is my favorite verse.
That. There's a purpose to the Word of God. There is a purpose for this scripture. There is a purpose for the profitability of the scripture.
It's not just given into us just to give it to us.
Right.
He's given it to us for a purpose.
That the man of God may be perfect or complete.
And equipped for every good work.
Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not just equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped.
Yep.
For every good work. Now, the way I illustrate this, and of course, some of our listeners will know what I'm talking about. You probably don't remember the Yugo.
I do not remember the Yugo.
You don't remember the Yugo. It was a car that was actually manufactured in Yugoslavia.
That's real original.
And it was marketed as being basically a disposable car. You know, they were dirt cheap when they came on the market.
Right.
Well, the reason they were dirt cheap is because they were junk.
They were junk.
And they were. They really were junk. And if you owned a Yugo and you disagree, I'm sorry, but
so there were actually people that you knew that owned a Yugo.
No, I don't think I actually knew anybody that owned a Yugo.
What would be the equivalent in today's times of cars?
Oh,
would it be those smart cars look like golf carts?
Yeah, about that.
Really?
Yeah, about that size.
See, that's what I think of Yugo.
Little bitty, they were very small. And if they were running, they would get you from, you know, where you were to where you needed
good gas
to
mileage.
Go. I don't remember about
probably
the gas
good
mileage.
For
probably
that day.
Pretty good because I think it had like a lawnmower engine in it. But,
right.
you know, probably had pretty good gas mileage. But you know, if you had to go from here to, let's say, Oregon.
Okay. We're in Kentucky.
Would you rather ride in a Yugo or an Escalade?
Definitely an Escalade.
Why?
More comfort. It's bigger.
Comfort, bigger.
Probably drives better.
Drives better, rides better.
I mean, just an overall great traveling vehicle.
Would you say that the Escalade, if you were in the Escalade, that you were thoroughly equipped? Now, knowing the Yugo, I would throw one more, dependability.
Right,
You know, with the Yugo, you might make it to Louisville.
Or you might make it down the street a little bit, and then it quit on you.
Yes.
You never know.
Or you might make it all the way to Oregon, but I guarantee you if you made it all the way to Oregon that you would have cramps and sore muscles and,
especially for taller people.
Yes.
I could never drive one of those smart vehicles. I could just never do it. because I feel like I'm not even that tall. I'm 6'3", but I still feel like I'd be cramped like driving it like this if I was in them. Because every person I've ever seen drive those vehicles is of short stature. I've never seen a tall person drive that vehicle.
I honestly have not paid that much attention.
I've seen a bunch of basketball players in the NBA who have played in the NBA or playing in the NBA with sports cars. Have you ever seen them have to have them special made because their legs are so long?
Yes.
That's insane, man.
Yes.
It's insane. Anyway, continue. Sorry. Side rant.
That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly
equipped,
furnished or equipped for every good work. We're not talking about Yugo equipped. We're talking Escalade equipped.
Everything now, is equipped.
You know, when we look at the task at hand, and the task at hand is, here in this verse he says, for every good work, but looking at it at the even larger picture, the task at hand is eternal life. That's what we want.
And that's what the book is for.
And that's what the book is for. And Paul tells us that if we treat the book as the Word of God, as being breathed out from God, we can be thoroughly equipped. We can be ready for whatever eventuality comes our way.
And I'll use the illustration that I used Sunday in my sermon with, if you started a college course today, the first thing the professor would ask you would be,
Do you have a book?
Do you have the textbook? Because without the textbook, you can't know the content, you can't study the content, and so when tests arrive or people start to ask you questions about the content, whether it's the professor or whether it's a fellow classmate, you're not going to know the answers because you don't have the textbook. The same thing goes for the Bible. You can get a Bible easily. You can buy a Bible at any store pretty much in the world, and you can read it and read it and read it and read it and know the content. You believe in it. You can be baptized with Jesus, and you can believe, and you can it can inspire you to do great things, but you have to open the Bible, and you have to read it. And if you open it and you read it, that is when man becomes complete. That is when man becomes thoroughly equipped for every good work in this life.
Well, when we go back to those four things that he mentioned in verse 16, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, we've got to make the application
of
what we read.
It's like making the application of what you learn in a textbook onto paper. You have to do the same thing with the Bible.
Yes. Now, Zach,
I love my illustrations.
I think you've been in school for what, forever now? Have you ever shown up for a class and reached into your book bag and all of a sudden you realize you packed the wrong book?
Yes, I have, actually. I've actually packed the wrong notebook and book before.
And that's so my notes are out there. An uncomfortable feeling, isn't it?
It is. It's a weird feeling.
It's an uncomfortable feeling knowing that you don't have the correct book.
Right.
Folks, there are some marvelous philosophies in our world. There are some wonderful, inspirational books that have been written by men, but those don't have the words of life.
They do not.
We have to have the correct book.
And you could make even another point out of that sometimes people look to books that are written by men rather than looking to the Word of God.
Yes, there are a lot of people who would rather read what someone has said about the Word of God than they would read the Word of God.
Read the Word first, find out what the Word says, and then you can begin to read whatever you want to read, because then you'll know what it says.
But as you are reading the works of others, and I don't care who the others,
it doesn't matter.
I don't know. One of these days, you're going to end up writing a book. I feel confident of that.
Oh yeah, that's one of my goals. Actually,
I've written one. Didn't sell any copies, I don't think, but I did write it, yes, and it actually was published, but I would tell you, even if you were reading what I wrote or what you wrote for our listeners, we need to have the knowledge of the Word of God to know that what we are reading is what God wants us to know and to read. I heard it put this way many years ago. when you're reading the works of men, you got to be ready to spit out the briars.
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a good one. You're full of good ones today.
It's just one of those days.
I could make a sermon outline of what you just said. I mean, that's pretty good.
No, I don't know about that. But okay, let's pause for just a moment and let's talk about some things that are coming up.
Okay.
We've got Oath that is coming up in...
Big event. Yes. Huge.
Coming up July, what, 6th, 7th, and 8th?
Yes.
And we are excited about that. If you want more information about Oath, you can contact us. I know I don't think it is on our website, the church's website,
right,
yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's coming. And you know what? I don't know...
I know we have it on our Facebook page. We have an event on our Facebook page.
Right.
I created it. It's not one that you can say, you know, I'm going, I'm interested, or it's just on our Facebook page. If you'll scroll down, you'll see all the information about what it is, who the speakers are, when it is.
I'm pretty sure it's also on the Paintsville Church of Christ web.
It is. Yeah.
The Facebook page. But the actual web page, I know Justin's working on that, and it's supposed to be rolled out
soon,
very, very soon, maybe even by the time this airs. I don't know. But Justin's like totally redoing our website, the church's website. And so when it comes out, it's going to have all the information that you need. But if you have any questions, certainly you can contact us.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact us at... Keith at letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Zach at letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And we want to just throw a little shout out to Jared Jackson for getting our emails sorted out and fixed here recently for us. Been some changes in servers.
Been very, very integral part of this program. And he doesn't even know it.
He's always a great help to us.
We'd love to have him on for an episode, actually. That would be fun.
We should get him on for an episode. That is a fantastic idea. I'm glad I thought of that.
Yeah, I'm glad you thought of it too, Keith.
Yeah, we'll talk to him about doing that very, very soon. What was I say? Also,
website.
There's another email that you might want to jot down. But you don't have to. It is radio, R-E-D-I-O, at PaintsvilleChurchOfChrist.com. And you can send an email to that. Also, radio at PaintsvilleChurchOfChrist.com. And we can get you some information there. But honestly, it comes to my email. So if you send it to radio at PaintsvilleChurchOfChrist.com or Keith at letstalkaboutchristianity.com, they're both going to come to me. So I'm going to be the one.
In other words, we means me.
Yeah, I guess it does.
That's okay.
Sometimes that happens. We means me. But anyway.
It's going to be a very, very good event. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Cannot wait. And part of the reason I cannot wait is because I don't know how we're going to work it into the schedule, but we are going to get those guys on our program.
They're
going to
be here.
Somehow we are going to get those guys on our program.
They will be special guests.
And we may not be able to get all of them, and we may not be able to get all of them at once.
But they're
going to
get you.
But we're going to get Lonnie Jones and Kyle Budd and Rob Kernodle in.
And that is definitely a future episode that you need to mark on your calendar.
Oh, because yes.
Because it's going to be
awesome. And
that
probably will come out, what, July 6th, July 13th,
yeah.
I would guess.
We'll have a little nice round table of people. It's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to that. That's still several months away.
It is.
But it is going to be fantastic. And speaking of fantastic and speaking of roping people into our episodes, we have a gospel meeting that is starting here in, what, 6 weeks, seven weeks, something
close.
Like that?
May.
Eric Owens is going to be here at Paintsville Church of Christ.
And see, I've never heard Eric speak, but you say he is absolutely phenomenal.
He is. He is phenomenal. And he is going to be coming, I think that's May 20th through the 24th.
Okay.
And so I think that's right. And he doesn't know it yet,
But he's going to be in
it. But he is going to be on our program, maybe even from Pavilion 4. Who knows?
We could do Pavilion 4.
By that point, surely, actually, temperature-wise, we could have done Pavilion 4 today. But
Brother Alan Webster was on it at Pavilion 4 last year.
Yeah, and that was
year.
That was like one of the last episodes that we did out there at Pavilion 4 before it turned cold. Since you brought up Alan Webster, I'm glad you brought up his name.
Okay.
Of course, Alan preaches in Jacksonville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
A week ago Monday, Jacksonville, Alabama was hit by a tornado, and their facilities there at Jacksonville Church of Christ were severely damaged in that tornado, particularly the office building where they produce House to House and Heart to Heart, and they do all the organization for polishing the pulpit and the marriage retreat, and those are events that we have talked about here on our program before.
They do a lot of good work.
Alan works there with that congregation that does all of those great things, and they are recovering from the damage to that tornado if you might have an interest in helping them out in their recovery, send us an email and we'll tell you how to get in touch with them.
But definitely keep them in your prayers, because they do a lot of good work.
Definitely be mindful of them and the good works that they do. And since we ended up just sort of doing a random rambling here in the middle of the program, let me give another shout out to my good friend Levi.
I've got two shout outs I got to give too.
It was last week. I snuck down there and got to see Levi.
Yeah.
And got to spend a little bit of time with him and his dad Blake, and we just had a great time together. He's an awesome kid, and I'm thrilled that I got to see him down there. And he's actually been recording videos and sending to me.
If you
don't have the privilege of having a 3 or 4 year old send you videos, you know, it's just something you really need in your life. You know, he's going around picking up toys and you know, showing me his toys and everything.
This is my toy truck.
It's pretty cool for him to be able to do that. Okay, give me your two shout-outs real
quick. The first shout-out I want to give is to David Wright. He's our 50th Instagram follower the other day, so I want to give him a big shout-out.
Thank you, David.
He is a faithful listener.
We appreciate you, and you know, if you have the chance, go to our Instagram account. It is LTAC
Podcast. At LTAC Podcast.
At LTAC Podcast.
And we actually have some hashtags that they can follow, too, on there. LTAC VOE.
The Verse of Encouragement. And I will say this, the Verse of Encouragement, we've been receiving very positive feedback from that. And I also want to say, in the interest of all fairness and honesty, that I've had nothing to do with that. Zach, you've been doing all of that on Instagram.
Well, Facebook page too. We're up to 163 follows, 161 likes, I think. So we're getting close to 200, Keith.
So we have experienced a large growth in those things, and I think a lot of it is attributed to
And if you're one of the people who recently liked our page and are listening to this podcast, we want to thank you. And
absolutely.
We hope that you get out of our Facebook page in this program what we want you to get out of it, which is inspiration.
Absolutely.
And encouragement.
So you said two shout outs.
And my second shout out, I want to give a shout out to Danny Horton.
Danny. Want to give a shout out to Danny?
Danny is one of the most energetic people I've ever met in my life. And Danny is also a person who loves God with his whole heart. And I want to give a big LTAC shout out to Danny Horton if he's listening.
All right. This is going to be another one of those awkward things that we have to do every once in a while. We actually need to take a little break because I need to go teach preschool. And so we're going to do that and come right back as...
I'll just read the Bible while you're gone.
Well, I don't think we've got enough time left for you to read the Bible, but...
Oh, okay.
I mean, you can if you want, but how about we take a little break and we'll be right back.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. That actually served as a good little break to
it did.
Get us off of the endless rambling and
maybe do a little reflection
back onto track of the topic that we have at hand today. Okay, so you want to reflect today, do you?
Well, I was just doing a little can't speak words today. Can't form coherent sentences.
Use your words.
I just want to do a little reflection.
Okay, little reflection. God is not joking. When we read His Word, we need to understand that it is His Word that we are reading. I want to read John 12 and 48. Jesus said, well, we can start in verse 47. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Mm. Now, that is a sobering thought. For a number of reasons. Number one, we know that there is a judgment. God's not joking about that either.
No.
Number two, we know there is a standard for that judgment.
That we will all be held to.
That standard is the word that has been delivered to us. And Jesus tells us clearly here in this passage, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Hey, guess what? If you... look at the resurrection. I've been.
Little kids.
Yes.
Preschoolers.
I got back from teaching preschool and you were doing something else, so I sat down and I was actually working on Sunday sermon. So, right.
Anyway.
Come back Sunday and we'll talk about the resurrection.
It's going to be a great sermon.
I believe it is going to be a great sermon. But. We're talking, what were we talking about? He who rejects me, the judgment. That's what
the
we
judgment
were.
By
yes,
the
we
word.
Were talking about the judgment. If you believe in the judgment, as you should.
Everybody should.
For the word of God tells us that it is a reality. Then you know that you need to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be ready for that time. And the only way that we are going to be ready is to... know the standard by which we are going to be judged.
Know the content. That goes back to my illustration.
The content.
You wouldn't go to class unprepared, would you, Keith?
I mean, some of us would. I can't say that I've never gone to class unprepared.
I can't say that I've never gone to class unprepared, but you definitely would not want to go to the judgment unprepared.
Right. And you're not going to fare very well if you make a habit of being unprepared.
That's true. That's a good point.
You're just not going to, it's not going to end well for you. There was a point I was going to make relative to that, and it's gone. As we are talking about these things that God tells, I want to bring another point in.
Okay.
Something that God is not joking about, and I think a lot of times we try to turn this into a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we make jokes?
They're funny.
I know, that was a random question, wasn't it? I caught you off guard with that one. Why do we make jokes?
They're funny. They make us laugh.
There are sometimes, though, that we... but I'm talking deeper than that. Why
not
do,
on the surface.
Why do some people make jokes?
Well, sometimes it can be to divert attention.
To divert attention. That is one of the biggest reasons that people make jokes.
That's true.
And
use humor as a shield sometimes for their emotions.
Yes, they try to hide their emotions, or they try to take attention off of themselves onto something else, or to direct attention from what is or what should be the real topic of discussion.
That's a good point.
And they try to distract with humor. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody does that, and everybody is that mm-hmm. way. I know some people who they're just funny.
Yeah, it's funny people.
They're just funny, and they're always going to be funny, and it doesn't mm-hmm. matter, you know, what the discussion or the topic is. They're going to find a way to bring humor into it simply because that is their nature. We're not going to get into the whole discussion of why they are funny, and you right. know, are they funny trying to divert? Anyway, we're not
getting into that. No psychology today.
No psychology. We don't have time for that mess. When it comes to temptation, sometimes we want to make jokes about that temptation because we don't want to have to look temptation in the face.
Well, if you're talking about jokes, you know, people making jokes in regards to maybe the Word of God, I think sometimes they make jokes in regards to the Word of God because they don't want to...
They don't want to accept the responsibility.
Or they want to accept the reality.
Yes.
Of the Word of God.
Yes. And there are some situations where, you know, that's okay. That's good. In life, I mean, you know, when the reality could be overwhelming of whatever situation.
And a lot of the things in the Bible, the realities in the Bible are overwhelming. I mean, yes. There are a lot of things that it is hard for the human mind to grasp.
There are a lot of times, though, that we get sidetracked on things that don't really matter.
It's true.
And we look at those yep. events and, you know, we should stop perhaps and ask ourselves, is whatever it is I'm facing today really going to matter tomorrow? Is it really going to matter a year from now?
You got to look at the bigger picture.
Yes. And we get so wrapped up in those things. But then there are other things that we know have great consequence
mm-hmm.
that we just don't want to face. We don't want to deal with those things. And
in the regards to the Word of the Bible, sin, that's the big one. Yes. Sin is the big one. We don't want to face the reality that we are in sin or that we have sinned. So we try to kind of dance around the issue.
Yes.
Through humor.
Yes, and we think that if we can distract away from what the true issues are mm-hmm. and get the subject changed, as long as we can right. change the subject and we don't have to talk about it, we don't mm-hmm. have to confront whatever it is, yep. that everything is going to be okay. I want to read from 1 John chapter 2.
You're soaring all through the New Testament today, aren't
1 you? 1 John chapter 2 and... John wrote in beginning in verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him."
Stark contrast of the world and of God.
Yes, very, very great contrast. But you know, just looking here at 1 John 2:15, this might be a good place to throw in a joke. If you love the world.
Yep.
It might be a place you desire to bring about a distraction mm-hmm. if you love the world. Let me just say, having said that no amount of nothing we can say or do is going to distract God.
Nope.
God is not going to be distracted.
He's not distracted by anything.
And you know, we you know that I never get distracted.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I never get distracted.
Yeah, you're the best in the world for that.
Yes. But it's funny the number of times I do get distracted and I find myself going, what was I talking about? What was I doing?
Were you ever diagnosed with ADHD?
No, I can't even spell that. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If we love the world and we do not want to confront the reality of what John is telling us here,
mm-hmm.
we might tend to want to make some kind of joke. Now, honestly, I don't have a joke anywhere to insert here, but let's look at verse 16. Because John says, "For all that is in the world," and then he describes it, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world."
I think sometimes people get get blessings mixed up. Okay, so you get blessings from God. All good things flow from God. If you're wealthy, then God has given you those blessings and given you opportunities to become wealthy. But I think sometimes where people get mixed up is they think, well, since God gave me this, you know, I can just do whatever I want to. With it. I mean, it's mine. Right. It's mine. I made it. It's mine. I can do whatever I want with it. When in actuality, it's just a temporary blessing. You know what I mean? It is definitely not something that is going to get you to eternity, and it is definitely not something that is of spiritual relevance. There's the word.
I'm glad you finally got it out.
Struggling today.
Okay,
man.
So in our auditorium Bible class on Wednesday night this week, we were discussing Christ coming into the world and the humble beginning that he had, and the, and this was not a point that was made in the class, but by Jesus coming into the world, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, no one has ever been higher or more highly exalted than Jesus, and yet he lived a very humble existence on this world.
Son of a carpenter.
And we could look at any number of reasons as to why this was so. But one point that I did not make last night was in the life of Jesus and the humility of that life and the simplicity of that life is the reminder that the things that we have in this world don't really matter.
Yep. And he could have been born any of ways, but to be born in that way, it's an obvious message.
And we read what John has written. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Guess what we deal with each single day? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things that feel good, those things that look good, and those things that, the pride of life make us feel good about ourselves. Mm-hmm. We deal with that every single day. And guess what? If you have dealt with those things yesterday and you are dealing with these things today, you are going to be dealing with these same three venues or avenues of temptation tomorrow.
The three biggest venues of temptation.
Well, too. All temptation is going to fall into one or more of these three categories. Yep. Every single temptation. And John sums it up very succinctly here.
Ooh, good word, Keith.
Score one for me. Sums it up very succinctly here in 1 John 2 and verse 16. We deal with those things every day. They're not going to go away. We will continue to deal with those things. We will continue to be confronted with these things. How we deal with them is going to have eternal consequences.
Yep.
Now, God has said, look, when it comes to sin, when it comes to your position in this world, your approach to this world, your view of this world, how much of the world is in you?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm not joking. Those things are not of God. And if we desire to have eternal life, we must keep them in their proper perspective. We cannot treat sin, we cannot treat temptation lightly or in a manner that suggests that we are not taking them seriously. Yet, since we deal with them so frequently, so commonly, the temptation is always going to be there for us to sort of blow them off and say, oh, these things really don't matter. And I'll tell you, as we're beginning to wind this down, because we're under 2 minutes now that we have remaining.
Wow.
One of the most dangerous things that we can ever say is, surely God's not serious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Surely God doesn't mean what he says.
And we hear that all the time.
We do hear that all the time.
I hear it all the time, too.
And
as well.
We need to understand that when it comes to our salvation, it is not a joking matter.
There are specific incidents, like you've mentioned, that God does joke. But then when it comes to the serious stuff and the message, especially the pure message that he's trying to get across, there is nothing funny about that whatsoever.
No. No. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm glad that we are able to laugh and enjoy the humorous aspects
of this.
This
is not
an
episode against the sense of humor.
It is not an episode against the sense of humor. And let me say also, I'm glad you didn't have your joke book with you because...
I have it with me.
If you hit... No, don't pull it out. Don't pull it out because you would never stop. I'm glad that we're able to share joy in the lives of one another, but we cannot become so distracted by that joy or the humorous that we overlook the most serious of matters, and that is our eternal salvation.
Amen.
Okay, so we want to thank you for listening to our program today. If you've not done so, go to our Facebook page, like it, share it, follow it. We've got new things coming
out
on there.
It's a pretty great page. I just posted a new article, or a new blog, I mean.
Yes, and Zach, you're doing a great job keeping that updated. Maybe one day you'll find somebody to help you with all of that.
I wonder. I have a co-host. But he doesn't write much, even though he has written a book.
Well, sometimes...
And he has over 20 years of material. And he's a good writer.
Okay, just beat me up. Beat me up. Make me feel belittled. Thank you for listening to our program, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.
See ya.